بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، صلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحابته أجمعين. اللهم لا علم إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. اللهم علمنا ما ينفعنا وانفعنا بما علمتنا وزدنا علما. اللهم افتح علينا حكمتك وانشر علينا رحمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. وصل اللهم على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله الكرام. ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم. يقول المصنف سيدي أحمد زروق رحمه الله تعالى ونفعنا الله به، الطرف الرابع، the fourth section، في تعريف المجهول من المواقع وما يعرض للمحامد من القواطع ومداره على ثلاثة أوجه. أولها في معرفة الوجوه المحمودة التي يعرض لها ما يعرض، وذلك في موقف الاستقامة أظهر. الطرف الرابع، the fourth section is in concerning the definition of those things that occur that are unknown and what happens with praiseworthy qualities from among the impediments on the path. So this section is in defining those areas that tend to be unknown to most people, in things that will affect those people, and those things that will occur as impediments on the path of praiseworthy wayfaring. And the axis around which these revolve is three. The first one, في معرفة الوجوه المحمودة التي يعرض لها ما يعرض. The first is knowledge of the various praiseworthy aspects among those things that these impediments occur. وَذَلِكَ فِي مَوْقَفِ الْإِسْتِقَامَةِ أَظْهَرُ. And when he gets to the section on uprightness, it's going to be clear. So he's letting us know that he's got something coming. Because right now we're in which mawqif? إِشْنَابِ الْمَحَارِمِ. Right? What was the first mawqif? تحقيق النية. And then what? أَرَدَّ الْمَظَالِمِ. Redressing wrongs.
And then avoiding.
Right. So avoiding wrongs. So now he's still talking then. And later when he gets to the section on istiqamah, it's going to be clear. So that's the first. الثاني في كيفية العمل في استخراج المجهولات واستنباطها وهو بالركن الثالث أمس. And also concerning the methodology of deriving those things that are unknown, so how to actually discern the unknowables. And he says in that, in the third ركن is even more tangible or more important. So what were the four arkan? Which qutb are we in? In the mawqif al-awwal, we're in the third, right? We're in the third one, which is ijtinab al-maharam. And it had four arkan, right? Ijtinab al-maharam had four arkan. And which one are we in now? We're in the first one here, which is al-ilm al-ba'ith alayh, right? That's where we're at. So he's saying, concerning the methodology of deriving and discerning these unknowables, it's going to be even more important in the third rukn. We're in the first one, it's the third one, which is tafasir ahwal al-taqwa. So, moving along. الثالث from these is في مقاصد الأمور التي بها يظهر الخلل والكمال وهو بالموقف الثالث أولى. وسننبهه على كل في محله إن شاء الله تعالى. He's saying this is concerning the aims of matters in which both the shortcomings and perfections manifest. وهو بالموقف الثالث أولى. And it's more appropriate to be in the third موقف, which is related to realization. And he says, and I'm going to call your attention to it when we get there, in its place, insha'Allah ta'ala. So he's letting us know that this is something to recognize about how to discern unknowables, and we'll get there. This stuff is dense, but there's a lot of benefit here. So now, the rukn al-thani. So we did the first pillar, now we're on the second pillar. Fi wujuh al-amal bit-taqwa وَمَا يَضْعُهُ بِهِ أَصُرَهَا وَمَا يَقْوَى. This relates to the different aspects of action in accordance with taqwa, and what weakens it and its foundation, and what strengthens it. ومداره على ثلاثة سوابق. And its axis or pivot is on three, revolves around three that have been previously mentioned. But they return also in the end because there are also consequences. They follow. So he's mentioned these three before. Al-awwalu, the first one is تَمَكَّنُ الْعِلْمِ بِفَائِدَةِ التَّقْوَى. It is the fact that knowledge becomes firmly rooted by the benefit of taqwa min al-nafs, from the nafs, from the self. وَذَلِكَ بِالْفِكْرَةِ فِي حُسْنِهَا. And this results from reflection in its beauty, the beauty of taqwa, of doing this, the beautiful results of it, the excellence of it. وَقُبْحِ الذُّنُوبِ تَفْصِيرًا فِي الْأَوَّلِ وَجُمْلَةً فِي الثَّانِي. And also in reflecting on the ugliness of wrong actions. One of the ways that the knowledge of the benefit of taqwa gets firmly rooted in the self is by reflecting on its beauty. Just the beauty of being in a state of taqwa with Allah. And also reflecting on the foulness of being in a state of disobedience with Allah. تَفْصِيلًا فِي الْأَوَّلِ. Do this in detail in the first one. In other words, when you reflect on the beauty of taqwa, do it in detail. Doing prayer on the time, doing making the pilgrimage, being in a state of dhikr, recitation of Quran, helping those who need help, charity, all these things. Look at it in detail and look at all the beauties and the benefits that come from that. وَجُمْلَةً فِي الثَّانِي. But generally in the second one, don't look at it in detail. لِأَنَّ التَّفْصِيلِ يُوَلِّدُ إِرْتِسَامَهَا فِي الْخَيَالِ. Because by reflecting in it in particulars, this engenders its visualization in one's imagination. And it's not good to visualize wrong actions. So he doesn't want you to go into details in thinking like drinking alcohol, fornicating, doing all these things. Don't think of those in detail. Just generally think of the ugly effects of all those things. But don't think of them in detail. Because of مَعَغَرَبْتِ الْهَوَى, because of the fact that a human being's caprice is so overwhelming, والشهوة, and also his shahwa, فيغطي العقل والعلم والبيان, and this results in affecting one's intellect and the knowledge and also the clarification of these things. So that's the first one in the Rukn al-Thani. The second, الثاني, أدفع لأول عارض من الذنب. Now this is really important. It's all important, but this one in particular is an extremely useful one. The second one, الدَّفَعُ لِأَوَّلِ عَارَضٍ مِنَ الذَّنْبِ, is to repel the first impulse of doing wrong. Repel it at its outset. إِذْ قَدْ قِيلَ أَوَّلَ الذَّنْبِ الْخَطَرَ كَمَا أَنَّ أَوَّلَ السَّيْرِ الْقَطَرَ. Because it's been said that the outset of a wrong is a thought, just as the outset of a flood is a drop. فَإِنْ تَعَاهَدَهَا بِالْكَرَاهَةِ وَإِنَّا صَارَتْ مُعَارِضًا. So if you accustom yourself to repelling it immediately with disgust, it will cease. Otherwise, it will become something that's constantly challenging you. فَإِنْ قُوبِلَتْ بِالْكَرَاهَةِ وَإِنَّا صَارَتْ وَسْوَسَةً. If you respond to it with disgust, you can repel it. If not, it becomes waswasa. It'll be obsessive compulsive. فَإِنْ قُوبِلَتْ بِالْمُجَاهَةِ وَإِنَّا هَاجَتْ مِنْهَا الشَّهْوَةِ. And if you respond to it with struggle, you struggle against your soul, in other words, you'll get the good benefits of it, or else the shahwa will become inflamed. Your desires will become inflamed, impassioned. مَعْغَرَبَتِ الْهَوَى, coupled with the overwhelming power of one's affections. فَغَطَّ الْعَقَلُ وَالْعِلْمُ الْبَيَانِ. So it overwhelms, it covers your intellect, your knowledge, and the clarification of these. الثالث, the third one, الاحتياط في الامتناع بترك ما يدعو إليها جملة ومفتاحه التأويل بذكر النعمة في نفسها أو إخماد النفس بذكرها أو تجوير النفس في دعواها. The third one is absolute cautiousness in abstaining from your wrong actions by leaving all of the incentives, everything that calls to wrong actions, leaving them totally. So those things that call to wrong actions, and you should know them. What he's trying to teach us is the psychology of the self, so that you begin to know when the nafs, when these thoughts begin to happen. You see, for instance, One of the things about the West is music. And the thing about music, particularly most Western popular music, it's all calling to ma'asi. If you actually, and don't, well, if you think about it, listen to it, think about it, it calls to ma'asiyah. It's all about inflaming the passion. The same with alcohol. These are very crude things, but they do. People drink, they do things they'd never do otherwise. People go to bars and they drink, and they get courage to do things they wouldn't otherwise do, which lead to disobedience. This gets more and more subtle, the crudest level. As you move away from crudeness, the wrong actions become more and more rarefied. And so the things that call to them become more and more rarefied. So for instance, if you get to a level where it's about riya, and it's about i'jab, and it's about hubr riya, so love of leadership, about these type of things, it gets finer and finer. And so you have to be more and more aware of the nafs. Because the nafs is amara bisu, and it's always attempting to seize every chance that it gets. So he says, you do this cautiously abstaining from your wrong actions by leaving anything that calls to them in its totality. وَمِفْتَحُهُ التَّأْوِيرُ بِذِكْرِ النِّعْمَةِ بِنَفْسِهَا. And the key to this, the ability to doing this, is by interpreting, when you think about these things, you remember the great blessing of being able to abstain from wrong actions. That in and of itself is a great blessing. The ability to abstain from wrong actions. Also, أَوْ إِخْمَادُ النَّفْسِ بِذِكْرِهَا. Putting out, extinguishing the fire of the ego by remembering this blessing of being in obedience to Allah, of avoiding wrong actions. أَوْ تَجْوِيرُ النَّفْسِ فِي دَعْوَاهَا. By deeming the self to be transgressing in its claims, in what it desires and its calls. وَكُلٌّ هَالِكٌ. And everybody is going to be destroyed. كُلٌّ هَالِكٌ. Human beings, they're just in a wretched state, if you look at them. None of them are using their intellect. Allah has given this massive intellect to a human being. It's massive. It can make all of these أَقْمَارَ السَّنَعِيَّ, these satellites floating around in space. You can talk going 70 miles per hour down the road in California to somebody who's in Saudi Arabia driving 70 miles per hour. He's talking on his phone to you. It's night where he is, it's day where you are. You're both driving 70 miles per hour, and it's instantaneous. And it's even, you can speak in Arabic. The fiber optic, it doesn't care. It can translate all these sounds. French, German, and it goes instantaneously. Assalamu alaikum. Wa alaikum salam. Aina anta? California. Aina anta? Abu Dhabi. Subhanallah. And then what do they start doing? Backbiting, thinking how they're going to... Really, the human beings are insane. They can do all these things. They have all this power. They have all these things Allah's given. وَكُلٌّ هَالِكٌ. They're all destroying themselves. They're all going to destruction. لَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Don't throw yourselves to destruction. Don't throw yourselves to destruction with the very tools that were created to take you to salvation. You were given these things not to destroy yourself, to save yourselves by Allah. Hands, eyes, ears, tongue, genitals, stomach, all these things, they were given to you to save yourself, not to destroy yourself. إِلَّا مَنْ عَصَمَ اللَّهُ. Except those who Allah protect. وَقَلِيلٌ مَا هُمْ. How few they are. تَنْبِيه. Note of warning. مَدَارُ هَذَا الرُّكْنَ عَلَى إِثَارَ السَّلَامَ فِي جَمِعَ أَبْوَابِهِ. The pivot or the axis of this last pillar that he just mentioned is in preferring safety in all of its sections. وَمِفْتَحُ هَذَا. The key to this. التَشَوُّف. Is desiring to be safe, but لِإِثَارَ الْغَنِيمَ عَلَيْهَا. Because one will prefer غَنِيمَ, some benefit over this. لِأَنَّ ذَلِكَ دَاعِيَةُ الْعَمَلْ فِيهَا. Things that call to action by their nature often can be risky things. Because there's some benefit, there's some ghanima, there's something to be gained. So you have to be very careful with taqwa. You don't want to risk your deen.
Dunya is another matter. People risk their dunya all the time. It's perfectly good. It's a good thing to risk your dunya. And that's what tijara is. Commerce is risking your dunya. It's a good thing. But akhirah, you don't risk your akhirah. Especially when there's the ability to destroy yourself by something that is deemed to be light. وَلَا خَفِيفَ فِي الذَّنُوبِ. There's no light thing in wrong actions. وَنُخْتُلِفَ فِيهَا. Because you can say, خَفِيف, you know, this is a little thing, it's no big deal. There's no little thing in wrong actions. وَنُخْتُلِفَ فِيهَا. Even if there's difference of opinion, and you're aware of that, he's saying, you've taken the path of taqwa, so don't belittle these wrongs. That's just a warning. الرُّكْن الثَّالِث, the third rukn, is في تفاصيل أحوال التقوى وما يتجدد فيها. And he had mentioned earlier in the second one of the fourth section is the methodology of determining and deriving the unknowables. And in the third section is going to be even more important. The third section is في تفاصيل أحوال التقوى, in the particularizations of the states of taqwa, the details of the conditions of taqwa. وَمَا يَتَجَدَّدُ فِيهَا. What he's saying here is that we're looking at the ahwar al-taqwa and what is constantly reoccurring from those states, those things that are really important to constantly be reassessing. مِنْهَا وَمَا يَقْوَى. And also those aspects that are strong. وَمَرْجِعُ ذَلِكَ لِإِعْمَالِ الْجَوَارِحِ. The frame of reference where you return to is those things that are activating your limbs. وَمَا يَعْرِضُ مِنَ الْمَرْجُوحِ وَالْرَاجِحِ. And those things that occur from things that you should be leaving and things that you should taking. So look at which aspect is overwhelming you. Not in good, it's actually the opposite. Look at which aspect overwhelms you. And then make your concern with that one and don't concern yourself with the other ones at this point. حَتَّى إِذَا فَرَغْتَ مِنْ ذَلِكَ الْأَهَمْ وَلَمْ تَنْتَقَلْ عَنِ الَّذِي قَبْلَهُ. So once you've finished with that thing that was the most important and you haven't moved on to the thing that was less than it, but أَمْرَ الْأَعَمِ فَجَعْلُكَ الْهَمْ بِهِ مُتَعَلَقًا مُقَدَّمًا. Your concern with that should always be override. Your concern with the lesser things. And in that, there are three things in particular that are overwhelming for everybody that you should be concerned with. Alright, so does everybody understand that? So, أَوَّلُهَا إِرْسَالُ اللِّسَانِ فِي الْغِيبَةِ والهذيان مما لا يعني ولا يغني. The first is letting loose the tongue in backbiting and excessive speech in matters that don't concern you and are of no benefit. So he's putting that right at the top, because this is the big one, people. If you can get this one, you don't have a whole lot to worry about in your life. The second, الثاني, عدم التوقف في التناول أخذا وتركا وحبا وبغضا ومدحا وذما إلى غير ذلك. The second is never ceasing to partake, to take in both commission, omission, things that you love, things that you hate, praise and blame. Always wanting to be praised, always wanting to blame. إلى غير ذلك. So, الثالث, تعلق القلب بالخلائق والغفلة عن التعلق بالخالق. The third is the heart being attached to created things and mindless about its attachment to the creator of things. So this is غفلة, heedlessness, mindlessness. ولكل هذه موارد جمة نذكر منها العامة المهمة. Each of these have abundant places of origin. And we will mention from among them the general ones that are most important. فَأَصْلُ الْأَوَّلِ الْمُوَافَقَةُ وَطَرَبِ الْأَخْبَارِ. This is so amazing. I mean, he's really giving us something great here. The foundation of the first one, which is what? The tongue, غِيبَ and هَذَيَان. The root, the ideology, the origin of backbiting and excessive speech is al-muwafaqa wa tarab al-akhbar, is conformity and asking for news. How so and so? Oh, you know what he did? This is how it opened. That opens the door. And muwafaqa, conformity with people. Somebody starts backbiting.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Muwafaqah, it's conformity. This is a human being. It's all happening all over the place. They get into these situations.
Yeah, I know, I told him too. This guy never listens.
Instead of saying, you know, wait a second. I mean, I had an idea of getting badges. So you wear a badge that says, ask me how you can help me get to paradise. Right? So right when you first meet the person, he's going to look at that and say, how can I do that? That we don't backbite during this entire exchange. So right off the bat, you set the rules. And then after that, once it starts, no, remember you said you were going to help me. And then you end up helping that person as well. Have a nice day. So those are really important. Remember those. Muwafaqa. And one of the things the Arabs say, شرط المرافقة الموافقة. The condition of companionship is conformity. I'm okay, you're okay. That's what most friendship is based on. It's not based on taqwa. It's based on, I'll stroke your back, you stroke my back. And that's why you lose friends when you start to change. Because they don't change with you. You'll lose them, I guarantee you. You become Muslim, suddenly people that were your friends, they don't want to be around you anymore. Can't do that. Don't do that. Don't drink anymore. Etc., etc. So, muwafaqah is a big one, conformity. It's really hard to go against the grain. It takes a real resolution, determination to go against the grain, not to be like everybody else. And some people Allah helps by just making them bizarre, so they don't conform. I mean, there's people like that. And they think initially it's like this terrible thing. But later on down the road, they realize that it was actually a gift that they didn't fit in with the crowd, the in crowd. I mean, there's all these things. And in the West, I mean, it's everywhere now. It's in Arabia, it's all over. The in crowd. You definitely want to be out of that group. You don't want to be in. You want to be out. Well, also the Thani. So what was the Thani, the second one? And he said, the ideology of the second one, the origin of it is عدم الاحتبال وحب الاستكثار. It is not being content with what you've been given, and also not being concerned with your own self. احتبل هبلك, like the Arabs say, you know, be concerned with your own business. وحب الاستكثار. And also love of acquisition, always wanting to acquire more and more goods. وأصل الثالث الغفلة عن تقلبات الليل والنهار. And the origin of the third, which was what? تعلق بالخلائق. Yeah. وغفلة عن تعلق بالخالق. Is being connected to the creation and unmindful of one's connection with Allah. The origin of that is heedlessness or mindlessness about the vicissitudes of night and day. In other words, the fact that تَقَلُّبَاتِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ, you don't know when you're going to be taken. You don't know when you're going to be removed from this dunya. You don't know what's going to happen, what calamities are going to befall you. There's an interesting story, a book written by Ram Landau. But he wrote a book called Seven. And he wrote it about octaves and how every seventh year he saw something totally changed in his life. There was one good thought in the whole book. So I'll give it to you so you don't have to read the book. One of the things that was so interesting for me was he was from a very wealthy family from Poland. His father was very successful. And they were in Germany on the eve of World War II. He was young, he was like 12 years old. They were in Germany having a great time. Every night they'd go down to the Corniche and they would listen to the band play. There's a band out there in a gazebo. And then one night they went out and there was no band. What happened? Why is the band? Haven't you heard? War broke out. They went to the train station to go back to Poland. There were no trains. And their banks, all their funds were cut off. His mother ended up becoming a washerwoman, a Polish washerwoman in Germany. And they lived through the war in just this horrific time. So suddenly from all this blessing and ni'mah and all this thing, everything, they were living in a one-room apartment. After staying in a really nice hotel. They didn't have any money to pay for it. ended up getting a one-room apartment, and they lived out the war years in terror and fear. That's the way life is. It just changed overnight. And the fact that you're heedless of Allah is an act of stupidity on your half. Because the only security you have in the world is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's the only security you have. And if you're always with Allah, you don't mind. If you're with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, khalas. Nobody can shake you up. But if you're not, everything can suddenly fall apart. فَتَرْكَ الْأَوْلَى الْأُولَى بِالِاقْتِصَارِ عَلَيْكَ. The way in which you abandon the first one, which was ghibah and backbiting, بِالِاقْتِصَارِ عَلَيْكَ. By really limiting your exposure to other people. If you have good company, you're very lucky, and he's going to get into that. But generally, most company, it's not good for you. So the better thing is to preoccupy yourselves with things that are beneficial. Study, dhikr, doing good deeds, doing things that are going to benefit you. And also, when you talk to people, don't talk about other people. It's really interesting how limited conversations for most people are when you eliminate talking about other people. Suddenly nobody has anything to talk about. It's amazing. وَتَرْكَ الثَّانِيَ بِالْقَنَاعَ فِي مَا مِنْكَ وَإِلَيْكَ. And the abandonment of the second one, which is this preoccupation with stuff and acquisition and praise, and is by being content with what comes from you and what comes to you. Being content. الْقَنَاعَةُ كَنْزٌ لَا يَفْنَى. The Prophet ﷺ said, Al-qana'atu kanzun la yafna. Contentment is a treasure that's inexhaustible. It's inexhaustible. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَتَرْكُ الثَّالِثَ بِالْفِكْرِ فِي مَا لَدَيْكَ. And the abandonment of the third is by reflecting with what your state is. What's your real condition? إِذْ تَجِدُ أَقْرَبَ مَا إِلَيْكَ بَعِيدٌ. The closest thing to you is far. The closest thing to you is the next moment. And you have no certainty that you're going to enter into it. The only certainty you have is death. There's no other certainty in the world. Right now, I guarantee you, if you think about this, you will find this to be absolutely true. The only certainty that you have right now is that you will die. You have no other certainty. We don't know if we're going to get through tonight. We don't know if we'll get through this dars. Somebody could drop dead. There could be an earthquake. The whole thing, la qadr Allah, fall on us. That's it. It's over. Pompeii. They were all having a good time. Pompeii was where the elite of Rome used to go, and it was like a seaside resort for the Romans. And one day, Mount Vesuvius, it erupted. And suddenly they're all buried. You can find them. You can go there and see them. They're just trapped. The ash came so quick. There's women holding their babies. There's faces grimacing. There's people exactly the way they were. That was the only certainty they had, and they were heedless about it. Everybody's thinking, what am I going to do? And when I finish university, I'm going to, and then after that, I'll probably work maybe for about 5 or 6 years for a law firm. And then I want to like branch off on my own. And then after that, and then what? And then what? And then what? And then I die. End of the story. So even if you extrapolate out as far as you go, it's still death. That's the one. So that's what he's telling us. Reflect on that. What's near to you is still far. وَأَعْظَمْ مَا فِي وُجُودِكَ غَيْرَ مُفِيدٍ. The greatest thing that you have in your existence is of no benefit to you. In reality, if you reflect on it, it's of no benefit to you. وَبِانْقِطَاعَ هَذِهِ الثَّلَاثَ تَسْمُوا الْهِمَمُ وَتَكْمُلُ النِّعَمُ. And by cutting off these three things, this is why this book is so valuable. By severing these three things, the spiritual aspirations rise and the blessings are completed. وَبِالْأُولَى تَحْصُلُ سَلَامَةُ الصَّدْرِ سَلَامَةُ الصَّدْرِ. In leaving the first one, what is achieved is a sound heart and a good opinion of Muslims. When you stop backbiting and speaking ill of people, you will get a sound heart. And what is that? Qalb Salim. يَوْمَ لَا يَنْفَعُ مَالٌ وَلَا بَنُونَ إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. That's what you want, يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. he's saying this is how it's going to be achieved. وَحُسَنَ الظَّنْ بِالْمُسْلِمِينَ and a good opinion of the Muslims. وَبِالثَّانِيَ يَتَحَقَّقُ الْوَرَعُ وَيَتَنَوَّرَ الْقَلْبِ with the second one you will achieve scrupulousness. Stop desiring what other people have and Allah will love you. Stop desiring what they have. They'll love you, Allah will love you. If you leave the dunya, abandon it, don't be concerned with it. What comes to you, alhamdulillah. What passes you, alhamdulillah. And that's even the Stoics said that. This is aql. You don't need revelation to realize that. This is aql, you can understand that. That's why they say, aqlun nas fi dunya zuhad. The most intelligent people in this world are the people that do without the world, that give it up, that abandon it. They don't want it anymore. What's in it? It's empty. وَيَتَنَوَّرَ الْقَلْبِ and the heart becomes illuminated. وَبِالثَّالِثَ يَنْتَفِي عَنْكَ أَلَمُ الْمُوَاجِهَةِ وَالْمُقَابَلَ لِلْخَلَائِقِ رِضًا بِحُكْمِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ and with the third one, the pain and suffering of having to interact with other people is finally extinguished. Just give up. Why do you empower people so much? Why do we do that? Why do we let them get to us? Why do we do that? People fume. Let it go. Just to give you an example of this. I was at an airport. This very rude person was very cruel to this ticket lady because he had a problem. He had a problem. It wasn't her problem. But it was in that she's her job. And she started fuming and she was getting more and more anxious and this and that. And he finally left and she was in a total state. He literally had her in a complete state. And I was the next person in line. So I looked at this poor lady, you know, and I said, you know what? Don't let people do that to you. Don't let him do that. That's your heart. Don't let him get in there. He's not worth it. Just let him go on. He's got his problem. Just deal with it. And I just started talking. She just started telling me all her stress. And all her, I mean, she was having a hard time. And I just said, just let it go. Just really, just let it go. Too blessed to be stressed. Right? Abrak an yaqlaq. It works in Arabic too. She came later on down the thing to the airplane. She said, I just want to thank you so much. You know, because, I mean, she just started relaxing, you know, and this is what people forget. They really do. And when you have Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you've always got that, you can recenter. They don't have that. La ilaha illallah. La ma'bud illallah. It's all a test. This is a test. This is only a test. Had this been a real emergency, it's just a test. The worst thing you can do is get stressed out in a test. Every test taker who's good at taking tests knows that. It's true. The worst thing you can do, you go blank. Your mind goes blank. You can't. You just have to relax. How do you relax? By knowing your subject. The reason people are stressed out is because they crammed the night before. Know your subject. And what you have to do is know life. Know the subject of life. It's not that complicated. There's some basic rules that you need to learn and practice them. And it works. And that's what he's telling us. That's all he's telling us. So all that pain of other people goes away. رِضًا بِحُكْمِ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ because now you're content with the decree of the Lord of the world, with his judgment. You're not interested now anymore with, I don't really care what that person thinks. I can't care. رَزَقَنَ اللَّهُ ذَٰلِكَ بِمَنِّي وَكَرِمْ May Allah provide us with that. And it doesn't mean that you don't care about other people, things like that. All right. What it means is your heart's no longer attached to it to the point where it's going to be painful. It doesn't mean that awliya are the most helpful of people. They help other people. That's what they do. But they do it with a type of detachment that enables them to do. And that's why it's so extraordinary to see people who could take all these people just coming constantly with all their problems. And he was just that vortex that could just, he was capable of doing it all. And he was concerned and he did listen and it was all real and it was genuine. But he's with Allah. That's where the heart's focused. Al-Rukn al-Rabi', the fourth rukn, pillar. في مداخل العلل وما يتعرف به مجهولات الزلل. فأما مداخل العلل فثلاثة. How these faults, the inroads of these faults, how they get in, and then how the hidden faults of the self or the slips of the self are known. As for the inroads of these faults or blemishes, there are three. أولها غلبة الشهوة ولا وجه لدفعها إلا بالمجاهدة. The first is the overpowering of one's concupiscent appetite, the shahwa of one. It overpowers you. It comes on, you do something, and then you regret it later. When it comes, it just takes you with it. It's like a tidal wave that comes, and it just takes your rationality with you. At the crudest level, it's people that are the people of addictions. People that drink, use drugs, that's a very crude level. It gets higher and higher, more rarefied, but it's something extraordinary. The only way to do that is through struggling with the self, mujahada. والفرار والفرار من محلها جملة وتصيرة, and fleeing from the places where they occur. Generally and in particular, you have to flee from the places. So if you know that there are certain places where certain things happen, for instance, every time you go to the cafeteria, if you're at the university, you end up talking about other people. It happens every time. You sit down, even if you want to eat alone, somebody sees you, they come, they sit down with you, and suddenly you're talking about other people. Start avoiding that place. Bag your lunch, whatever. Do what you have to do in order to get out of that situation. The second, الثاني, غربة الهوى ولا دافع له إلا بالعمل بالاحتياط والسد باب التأويل. The second is the overpowering of one's idiosyncrasies. The hawa, the affections of the self, the caprice of the self, the idiosyncrasies of the self, and nothing can repel that except by acting with cautiousness and by closing the door of interpretation, of justification, of rationalization. الثالث استيلاء الغفلة ومقابلتها بالتشمير والتفطن لمواقع الأحوال ولا سبيل لك إلى ذلك إلا بمعادة نفسك والبحث عن مكان عيوبها التفصيلية من حيث العلم أولا ثم من حيث الوضع آخرا. The third is the appropriation of unmindfulness, استيلاء الغفلة, the overpowering of unmindfulness. You become unmindful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, heedless. ومقابلتها, one's response to this is بالتشمير. تشمير in Arabic, يشمروا, roll up your sleeves, get to work, مجاهدة, struggling. وتفطن لمواقع الأحوال, and mindfully awakening to the range of one's states. We're often not aware of what's going on. Literally getting into a state of mindfulness. This is something that's in our tradition, but this is really the focus of Buddhist tradition, is mindfulness, becoming mindfully aware. If you look at the sunnah, we have this. And the Westerners, they're very interested in this. We have it in our tradition. The Prophet ﷺ was mindful in his state. When he went into the masjid, he went with his right foot first. When he came out, his left foot first. He had a dua. When he got up in the morning, he had a dua. When he put on his pants, he put on his sirwat sitting down with the right leg first and then the left leg. He put on his robe. The way he tied his turban was specifically from the right to the left, like this, takwir. When he ate with his right hand. He used three fingers. He ate what was close to him. He began Bismillah. When he left his house, Bismillah. Tawakkaltu ala Allah. When he got on his riding beast, Alhamdulillah alladhi sakhara lana hadha wa ma kunna lahu muqrinin wa inna ila rabbina lamunqalibun. When he saw the new moon, Allahumma ahilla alayna bil amni wal iman wa salamati wal islam. He's being mindful of something. The Prophet ﷺ was in an absolute state of wakefulness. Fatana is one of the necessities, the wajibat of the Prophets. He'll get to that. And it has the idea of sagaciousness, but the fatan is also somebody who's really in a wakeful state. He's somebody aware. He's present. His intellect is fully active. وَلَا سَبِيلَ لَكَ إِلَى ذَلِكَ. And there's no way to that except by opposing the self. and ardently examining the areas of its faults, both general and specific. من حيث العلم, firstly in regard to knowledge, and finally in regard to its situation or its customs or state. فأما العلم, as for knowledge, فقد ذكر منه المحاسبي والغزالي والسلمي في كتبهم جمرة. The scholars such as al-Muhasibi, Imam al-Ghazali, Imam Abd al-Rahman al-Sulami, they have mentioned them in their books, generally. وَأَحْسَنُ مَا فِي ذَلِكَ مَا لِلْمُحَاسِبِ وَالسُّلَمِ فَعَلَيْكَ بِهِ. And the best that was mentioned about this knowledge of these states is coming to know the self is in what Imam al-Muhasibi wrote and al-Sulami, and also Imam al-Ghazali is extraordinary. So, مُسْتَعِينًا بِاللَّهِ الْجَلْبِ وَالدَّبْعِ لَا بِنَفْسِكَ. And also, you are seeking help from Allah in this. Don't depend on yourself. If you depend on yourself, you've already lost before you've begun. You're seeking help from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in warding off evil and accruing benefit. وَأَمَّا الْوَضْعُ فَهُوَ تَعْرِيفَ الْمَجْهُولَاتِ وَيَكُونُ بِأَرْبَعَةِ أَوْجُهِ. As for one's situation, it is identifying those unknown things in yourself that you need to remove, and you do this. There are four aspects to this. أَوَّلُهَا, the first, أَن تَكُونَ لَكَ بَصِيرَةٌ نَافِذَةٌ يَعْضُدُهَا قَلْبٌ حَاضِرٌ. You have to have a penetrating inner sight, and you have to have a present heart. وَمُرَاقَبَةٌ تَامَّةٌ, and you have to have a complete vigilance about these things. تُدْرِكُ بِهَا مَا هِيَ عَلَيْهِ فِي الْحَالِ وَمَا تُهَيِّئُهُ لِلْمَآلِ. And through it you come to know, you come to discern what is against the self in the condition that you're in, and what will prepare it for your future. وَهَذَا لَا يَصَحُ إِلَّا بِإِسْقَاطِ الرِّضَى عَنْهَا جُمْلَةً. And this will never work except by abandoning contentment with the self, by removing it completely. وَهَذَا مُتَعَذِّرٌ. And this is almost impossible. This is extremely difficult. لِمَا جُبِلْنَا عَلَيْهِ مِنْ حُبِّهَا. Because we have been naturally inclined to love ourselves. People love themselves. We're naturally inclined to self-love. It's part of our nature. And Allah has made that for a reason.
وَلَازِمِهِ الَّذِي هُوَ الْإِغْضَاءُ عَنْ عَيْبِهَا.
And the consequent of that, love of the self, is the condemnation of its faults. You begin to condone the faults of the self out of love. الْحُبُّ يُعْمِي. Love blinds. Like the Arabs say, وَعَيْنُ الرِّضَىٰ عَنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ كَلِيلَةٌ كَأَنَّ عَيْنَ سُخْطِ تُبْدِي الْمَسَاوِيَةً. That the eye of contentment on every fault is weak. It can't see the faults. Just as the eye of discontentment will constantly bring out faults. One of the things they notice in divorces, when people are in love, they don't notice the other person's fault. When they start falling out of love, suddenly it's like, I never noticed how big her nose is. Right? This is what happens. I never notice how much he talks. I never notice what stupid questions he asks. Right? It's those things. This is what they tell. You won't believe it, Marge. I don't know what I saw in that guy when I first met him. That's what they say. What did I see in him? He's a loaf. He's such an idiot and this and that. Why? Because now it's hatred. Whereas when she was in love, he could do no wrong. And vice versa. What about the self? The problem is you don't fall out of love with yourself. If you're an intelligent person, you do. That's why you're here, really. I mean, most people, they're not interested in this until they get to the point where they're just so frustrated with themselves. So, love is blind, and people love themselves, so they're blind to the faults of the self.
وَإِن تُصُوِّرَ وِجْدَانُ هَذَا الْوَجْهِ فَفِي خُصُوصٍ لَا عُمُومٍ كَمَا هُوَ مُشَهَدٌ مَعْلُومٌ.
Now, this is important. If the sentiment of this aspect of the self is conceptualized properly, it is understood to be in particulars, not in generals. What he's saying is, if you really understand this sentiment of one's love for oneself, it's in particulars that it manifests, not general. In other words, most of us do have a sense that we need to change. But it's very difficult to see those particular areas. That's where we really need help in identifying those things. Because Allah will force you within yourself, you will feel the frustration of your wrong actions. It's the nature of the soul. And that's why, no matter what people say who do wrongs, somewhere something's going on. No matter how dark they get, somewhere something is going on. So the particulars are very difficult to discern. So how do we do that? الثاني اتخاذ شيخ فصيح صاحب عمل وعلم صحيح يقيمك مقام نفسه ويعمل معك ما يجد في رمسه فلا يألوك نصحا إلا بذله ولا وجها من التكمير إلا استعمله وهو الآن معدوم في المشرق والمغرب. This is one of his amazing lines. The second way to do this is you need to take a sheikh. In other words, especially if you don't have that basir, take a sheikh who's very articulate in articulating these illnesses. He has sound action and sound knowledge. And he will take you to a station, maqama nafsi. He'll raise you up to the station of his self, and he will act with you in what will benefit him in his grave. In other words, he's doing this for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَلَا يَأْلُوكَ نُصْحًا إِلَّا بَذَلًا. That he will not refrain from anything that benefits you, from any advice, except that he will expend himself in it. وَلَا وَجْهًا مِنَ التَّكْمِيرِ إِلَّا اسْتَعْمَرَ. And no aspect of anything that will help perfect you, except that he will utilize it. وَهُوَ الْآنَ مَعْدُونَ فِي الْمَشَرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ. And unfortunately, he no longer exists in neither the East or the West. So, that's a big disappointment. وَإِنْ وُجِدَ فَأَغْرَبُ مِنْ عَنْقَ مُغْرِبِ. And if he is indeed found, consider it more wondrous than the wondrous phoenix. The phoenix was a bird that arose out of the Arabian Peninsula. Every 500 years, it would fly to Egypt and steal babies. It's called the Anqa, the phoenix. It rises up from the ashes also. The Arabs use it, أَغْرَبُ مِنْ عَنْقَ مُغْرِبِ, to use it for something very rare. So he says, لِأَنَّكَ لَا تَجِدُ إِلَّا صَاحِبَ حَالٍ وَهِمَّا أَوْ صَاحِبَ عِلْمٍ وَعَمَرْ بِلَا هِمَّا. You'll find either somebody who has a hal with Allah and he has some himma, but he doesn't have knowledge and he doesn't have action. Or you'll find somebody who has knowledge and action, but he doesn't have himma. His inward state with Allah is not high. I mean, he's saying you don't find perfected people anymore. وَإِنْ كَانَ نَفْعُ حَاصِرًا بِهِمْ فَلَا مِنْ هَذَا الْوَجْهِ الْمَذْكُورِ بَلْ مِنْ وَجْهٍ مُنْبَهِمْ. And if you do indeed benefit from these people that are incomplete in their mashakha, he's saying that the benefit is derived not from the aspect that was mentioned, rather from some other unknown means. There's barakah there, but it's not in the same way. الثالثو, the third way. So the first way is your own self. The second way is a sheikh. The third way is اتخاذ أخ صالح أو أخت صالحة, for the sisters, to take a righteous brother who also has inner sight. كَذَلِكَ بَصِيرٌ بِمَا يَسْمَحُ وَيُحَرِّكُ مَا هُنَالِكَ. He knows about those things that should be overlooked, but he will also be able to motivate you. وَيُوَالِيكَ بِالشَّفَقَةِ وَالنَّصِيحَةِ وَيَحْمِيكَ مِنَ النَّقْصِ وَالْفَضِيحَةِ. He will help you with his compassion, his sound advice. He'll protect you from deficiencies and disgrace. وَيُعَظِّمُكَ تَعْظِيمٍ يَقْتَضِي الْإِخْفَالَ. And he will give you your place, exalt you in a way that's appropriate. In other words, overlooking faults and things like that. وَلَا يُحَقِّرُكَ تَحْقِيرًا يُؤَدِّي إِلَى الْإِهْمَالِ. And he will not have contempt for you in a way that leads to his neglect of you. بَلْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ. It is indeed just as the Messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وسلم said, مَنْ أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِهِ خَيْرًا رَزَقَهُ صَدِيقًا صَالِحًا. إِن نَسِيَ ذَكَّرَ وَإِن ذَكَرَ أَعَانَهُ. Whoever Allah desires for him good, he will provide for him a righteous friend. If he forgets, that friend will remind him. And should he be in a state of remembrance, that friend will help him. الحديث. وَهَذَا أَيْضًا أَغْرَبُ فِي الْوُجُودِ مِنَ الْغَرِيبِ. And this, unfortunately, is more strange in this world than even a strange thing. وَأَبْعَدُ مِنْ بَعِيدِ. And more distant than a distant thing. لفساد الزمان, because of this corrupt age we live in. ووقوع المداهنة من الإخوان, and because people are so engaged in flattery. It's hard to find somebody who really be sincere with you and tell you, look, you know, you need help. You've got this, this, and they do it out of nasiha. There's plenty of people that will find fault in you. They're all over, a dime a dozen. But people that really actually do it out of care and concern and love for you, they're very rare. And if they do it, you shouldn't get upset. And they should expect it from you as well, if they're genuine. Like for instance, if you get mad, he says, "Ya akhi, asbir shwaya," and then you see him later get mad. Don't think of it like he's a hypocrite or something like that. It's just he was reminding you at that time. Now it's your turn to remind him. And that's what ikhwa is about. That's what brothers are about. It's not that I'm perfect and you're perfect, or you're imperfect and I'm perfect so I can tell you what to do, or you're perfect and I'm imperfect, you can tell me. No, it's that we're both imperfect and we're in different states. So when your imperfection is manifesting, I can see it and I can help. الرابعُ أن ترجع لترجمان الحق بالحقيقة هو ما يدري على ألسنة الخليقة لأن ألسنة الخلق أقلام الحق وأحوالهم مترجمة بما هو الحق أو قريب من الحق. He said, the fourth thing that you can do is to return to the translator of the truth, which is Allah, الحق. Allah's ترجمان, the interpreter. بالحقيقة, in reality. وَهُوَ مَا يَجْرِي عَلَى أَلْسِنَةِ الْخَلِقَةِ. And that is what is on the tongues of the people. لِأَنَّ أَلْسِنَةِ الْخَلْقِ أَقْلَامُ الْحَقِّ. Because the tongues of the people are the pens of truth. فَأَحْوَالُهُمْ مُتَرْجِمَةً بِمَا هُوَ الْحَقِّ. And their states also interpret what is true. أَوْ قَرِيبٌ مِنَ الْحَقِّ. So, Imam Shafi'i was once asked, how did you perfect your character? He said, I listened to people, what they faulted other people in, and then I looked in myself and I removed those things. So he would just notice, like people will say, yeah, I can't stand that person, he talks too much. A lot of people say that, so you start noticing that. It must mean people don't like people that talk too much. Or, you know, the problem with him, he's always finding fault in other people. People say that. So people don't like people who find fault in other people. I mean, these are all qualities. You can learn them from people. If you just actually listen to what people talk about, you can learn what they don't like. I can't stand that person. He's so rude. Oh, really? What's he do? Well, he always interrupts you in the middle of your sentence. These are things that you learn that people don't like. فَكُلُّ مَا نَطَقَ وُجُودُكَ بِاسْتِقْبَاحِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِكَ فَدَعَهُ مِنْ وُجُودِكَ. So everything that you hear, مَا نَطَقَ وُجُودُكَ بِاسْتِقْبَاحِهِ مِنْ غَيْرِكَ, everything about yourself that other people speak of, that's qabih. When you hear other people saying things, and yourself, its state, its hal, is speaking that thing, da'ahu min wujudika. Remove it, leave it from yourself. Fi sirrika wa jahrika, both in secret and openly. Wala tata'awwal ikhtisasu bi ikhtilaf al-hal. And don't try to interpret the reason it's there because of some different situation. It's justification. Don't go into justification. فَإِنَ أُصُولُ الْعُيُوبِ لَا تَتْقَيُّدُ بِالْأَحْوَالِ. Because the roots of faults are not about conditions. Oh, I only get angry when people make me angry. غَضَب is a fault. People say that. No, I don't get angry just for anything. I get angry because people make me angry. So don't justify those type things. وَوَجْهُ الْكَمَالِ فِي تَرْكَ النَّقْصِ فِي كُلِّ حَالٍ. And really, perfection is in leaving deficiency in all situations. فَفْهَمْ. So understand this. وَكُلُّ مَا نَطَقَ بِهِ وُجُودُ غَيْرِكَ عَنْكَ أَوْ عَنْ سِوَاكَ فَلَا تُهْمِرْهُ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ عَيْبٌ بِذَاتِهِ هُنَاكَ. And everything that you hear being articulated in other people in their states, either about you or about other than you, don't neglect it, because it's a fault by itself. So when you see it in other people and you recognize it, don't neglect it. See it for what it is. That is a fault. And then look to yourself. Do I have that? Before you fault the person. I mean, this is also in the Christian. They have that thing. Before you take the sliver out of your brother's eye, take the 2x4 out of your own eye. I mean, it literally is a plank. Clear up your own faults before you start worrying about other people's faults. And then he says, فَلَا تُغَارِقِ الْوُجُودِ فِيمَا بَعْضُهُ فِيكَ مَوْجُودِ. Don't start finding fault in existence if those faults are existing in you. وَعْلَمْ أَنَّ سُنَّةَ اللَّهِ اقْتَضَتْ لِكُلِّ مُبْتَدِئٍ فِي التَّوْبَةِ بِثَلَاثَةٍ تُنَبِّهُهُ عَلَى ذُنُوبِهِ وَتُبَصِّرُهُ بِعُيُوبِهِ وَتُفَكِّرُهُ فِيمَا مَضَى وَتُمَرِّنُهُ عَلَى التَّسْلِيمِ لِلْقَضَاءِ. And know that the Sunnah of Allah has necessitated that for every beginner in Tawbah, and we're all Mubtadi'un in Tawbah, there are three things that will constantly remind him about his wrong actions, expose him to his own faults, and cause him to reflect on what has passed, and will give him practice in learning to submit to Divine Providence, to the decree of Allah. That's a beautiful statement. أولها تسلط الخلق عليه باللوم والتعيين. The first is that the Sunnah of Allah is that He actually will subjugate others to finding fault in you. It's a gift from Allah. That's why you should never get angry. In fact, what you should really do, and this happened to me once. People came, they had a whole list of complaints about me. And I really felt, Alhamdulillah, alladhi satarani. You know, I praise Allah that He really veiled the real stuff. Because I was like, that stuff was like, you don't know the real lowdown. Don't see that as something negative. See it as a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will do that. He will make you feel totally alienated from His creation. That's a gift from Him. The response is to turn to Him. That is a gift from Allah. And you feel like you can't turn to anybody, is a gift from Allah. And that's what you have to see it as. The second one, and then he said, لِيَنْقَطَعْ إِلَىٰ رَبِّي لِمَا يُذَكِّرُونَهُ بِهِ مِنْ عِيدِهِ, because they keep reminding him of his faults. الثاني اشتداد نفسه عليه بالتلون والوسواس والجموح على مر الأوقات والأنفاس ليرجع منها إلى مولاه ويتفطن لمواطن الغرق فيما به يتولاه. The second one is اشتداد نفسه عليه بالتلون والوسواس, is that the nafs becomes so unbearable. It becomes unbearable for you because of all of this trickery and because of all of this waswas, this whispering. والجموح, and because of its recalcitrance, its defiance, in all these different times and in the breath that you're taking, لِيَرْجِعْ مِنْهَا إِلَى مَوْلَاهُ, in order that you can return, leave it, abandon it. Just recognize, I can't deal with it. You can't. There's a reason. You cannot do it. And don't think you can. Abandon it and go to your Lord. لِيَتَفَطَّنْ وَيَتَفَطَّنْ لِمُوَاطَنَ الْغَرَطْ فِيمَا بِهِ يَتَوَلَّهُ, in order for you to become aware of these areas of errors that He can take over. Allah can take over for you. الثالث توجه البلايا والمحن وتخلف العوائد والمؤن. The third one is the assault of tribulations and calamities from Allah. This is a gift from Allah. He's saying this is a gift from Allah. If we could just see it. This assault of calamities that comes from Allah, and then the fact that the absence of the advantages and benefits, the provisions that come from Allah to help you, they don't show up. So the tribulations come and you get into this state where it's تخلف العوائد. They've delayed themselves. لِأَنَّهَا مُذَكِّرَاتْ وَمُكَفِّرَاتْ, because these are reminders in order for you to return to Allah, but they're also things that remove your wrongs. That's why Allah is giving them to you. So it's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's a hadith that the son of Adam, if a rank is decreed for him with Allah, and he doesn't achieve it by his own mujahada and efforts, then Allah will help him achieve it through tribulation, loss of wealth, of health, of family. And if he's patient, he achieves the rank. So better we should struggle. But it's coming either way. And that's why the Muslims have more tribulation now than anybody. Look at the Muslim world. They don't understand it. These are mudakkirat wa mukaffirat. Look at your state. Look at our state. Seriously, look at it. It's pathetic. Unbelievable. That we can keep doing what we're doing. It gets worse and worse, and everybody keeps doing what they're doing. Or worse. Why is Allah doing that? جُعِلَتْ عَذَابُ أُمَّتِي جُعِلَ عَذَابُ أُمَّتِي فِي دُنْيَاهَا وَعَافِيَتُهَا كَانَتْ فِي أَوَّلِهَا. The punishment of my ummah is in this world. And its health was in the very first period. That's a lot, isn't it? Alright, well, I guess we'll stop here, inshallah.
There's one more page till we get to the what's called the mawqif al-thani. Remember, there were three mawqif. So we're almost done with the first mawqif, which is the majority of the book. The second two are actually quite short. And then the last section is a khatimah that's extraordinary. It really is amazing. So, alhamdulillah, I mean, it looks like we're going to finish the whole book. So... جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. جزا الله عنا سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ما هو أهله. سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون، والسلام على المرسلين، والحمد لله رب العالمين.